This lesson is entitled Leading Men to Encourage and Care for the Pastor with John Alvarez. John Alvarez has been a member of Lancaster Baptist Church since 1992. He is a deacon and a head usher, as well as a senior field service engineer at Edwards Air Force Base. This lesson is a part of Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011, hosted by Pastor Paul Chappell and Lancaster Baptist Church.
My wife and I and our family have been members here. This is our 20th year at Lancaster Baptist Church. It's been the greatest 20 years of my life. I think I could say, honestly say, that the first year that we were here was the greatest year of our lives. In the preceding 18 years that I was saved, I grew more the first year than I had the 18 years before as a Christian. I was challenged. I was counseled, but I needed counseling. I was encouraged. And I'm just thankful to the Lord. When we first came out here, got transferred out here back in 1986, February 1986. So that was about 4 or 5 months before Pastor and Mrs. Chappell and Danielle and Larry moved here. And coming from Texas, I thought, okay, we'll come to California for a little bit, see what it's all about. It's hard to, being a Texan, it was hard to say that California's where I would want to be. You know, everyone's heard about California, right? Victoria. The land of fruits and nuts, and the ones that aren't are flakes, right? So we. That's right. Amen. And I believe that too. But we thought, okay, we'll come out here for a couple of years, then we'll move away, go someplace else, wherever the company brings us. But little did I know that February of 1986, the Lord had bigger plans for us than I could in my feeble mind figure out. As I said a moment ago, we came here before Pastor came to the Valley. So I was saved at the Independent Fundamental Baptist Church back there in Saginaw, Texas. And my wife saved in the same church. And we came out here, no Independent Fundamental churches in the Valley at that time. So we joined a Southern Baptist church. It was a good little church. Souls being saved, the gospel being preached. But as time went on, just as Pastor was saying in his session just a little bit ago, it started losing a little bit of its fervor. It started going a little bit too far to the left, way far to the left. So we decided to leave, and we were in positions of leadership there. We resigned, and we quietly left. And at that time, Pastor lived right down the street from us. And we had met him, and actually, I think my son had mowed Pastor's yard before. So we said, hey, that guy down there at the corner, that Paul Chappell, he invited us to Lancaster Baptist Church, and we knew exactly where it was at. And I don't know if any of you men have ever been to 304 West Lancaster Boulevard, but it was a small place. It was a hot place, no air conditioning at all. And in July and August, it could get kind of toasty in that auditorium. So you hope that everyone wore their deodorant that day. But anyway, so we went to Lancaster Baptist that Sunday in December of 1991. And right then and there, we knew this was home. And as we raised our son and daughter there, and the longer we were there, then I realized this is why. Lancaster Baptist Church is why I was transferred to Lancaster, California. It wasn't because of the job. The Lord used the job to get me here. And now, 20 years later, I know without a shadow of a doubt that the Lord brought us out here to be here at this moment. And what have we seen in 20 years? Oh, I can't describe what we've seen in 20 years. I remember I gave my testimony after we'd been in the church about a year. And I had heard some of the testimonies of the other men, and unfortunately, I was envious. That's, I know it's a sin, but it was a good kind of envy. Because they had seen so much in the first 5 or 6 years, I thought, oh, here I am. I missed all the good parts of Lancaster Baptist Church. The first 6 years, I thought, man, I missed it. And we were here, and we could have caught it all. But then, we stayed faithful. We kept coming to church, and we got to see this land purchased. I remember coaching one of the first baseball teams out here. Actually, it was a T-ball team. I coached Pastor's, I coached Larry, Brother Frosso's son, Brother Houck's son, several of the men. I coached their boys out here in T-ball where we had to clear the land completely. It was nothing but brush. And you don't know how dirty you can get when you're clearing land, clearing a desert. But we did. And we cleared it, and we had a great time, great season. And so over those last 20 years that we've been here, I've been blown away about how good God has been. He has shown us so much in 20 years, and I believe it's because our pastor is a servant leader. Just like this conference, you men want to be servant leaders, and I'm sure you are in your respective ways. But our pastor leads by example. He's the kind of man that he doesn't just believe in telling you to go soul winning, but he's out there. He's out there. And he has shown me. I've been soul winning with pastor and many years, and we've been knocking on doors for years and years. And let me show you something. I wasn't going to do this, but here are some of the names. Here. Of folks that the Lord's allowed me to leave to Him, and God's been good. I mean, beyond measure, God's been good beyond measure. But anyway, when I was first asked to do this session back in November, I thought, okay, it was I can do that. And little did I know that in February, everything would turn upside down. I remember February 18th, as a matter of fact. It was what we do is we have a week of, we call it dinner series, where pastor has dinner with a church family, different classes, Sunday school classes every night for a solid week, and the Spanish also on Saturday. And we pastor gets to share the vision for the year, and we're blessed by it. And I just happened to be asked to sit at pastor's table that Friday night, February 18th. And the service was supposed to start at 7 o'clock sharp. And 7:05, pastor's not there, 7:10, 7:15, 7:20, pastor gets there. And I'm thinking, oh, this isn't like pastor, something's not right. So what we did, I asked him, Pastor, you all right? He said, no, I'm not feeling quite well tonight. And so I said, okay. So I thought maybe it was just stomach flu or something like that. It's February, so it's quite likely that it was something like that. So we sat down. It was Pastor and Mrs. Chappell, the mayor. You guys met Rex Paris last night. Tremendous testimony there. And another church family and my wife and I. And I could tell Pastor wasn't feeling well. And I asked Pastor, you should really go home. No, you're not feeling well. And Pastor's one of those diehard guys. If he's there, he's going to do everything he can to meet the commitment. So he wasn't feeling well. And so we had dinner, I believe. And then there was a little break between that and the start of the presentation. And I said, Pastor, why don't we go over here? And so we went in another room. And they had one of those portable monitors. Pastor gave you his version yesterday, I believe, on what happened. I'm giving you my version of what happened, okay? The other side. You heard Paul Harvey say, now the rest of the story? I'm giving you the rest of the story. And went back there with the portable blood pressure monitor. His blood pressure was, wow, out of this world. And it's one of those where you think, whoa, this is not good. Something serious could happen real quick. So Pastor still wanted to go on with the presentation. And he said, he asked one of us to go tell Brother Christensen, if I can't make it up there, you go ahead and start, and then I'll catch up, and then I get going. So we went back in there and for a few minutes, and right about there, we lost power on the property. I think that was the Lord saying, you need to do something. And so, along with Rex, Mayor Paris, and Mrs. Chapel and myself, I said, Pastor, we got to take you to the hospital. And so we loaded them up. I drove. And on the way there, Mayor Paris, just like Pastor said, called the hospital and said, hey, this is Mayor Rex Paris. I have Dr. Paul Chapel in the vehicle with me. He's having maybe symptoms of a heart attack or a stroke or something, and we need to get you there. We need to get him there right now. I need a team of doctors ready when we get there. Man, I'm driving fast. I got a badge in my back pocket, so I don't care if I get pulled over. And so I'm getting there and pull in front of the emergency room, and there's a team waiting for him there. They take him away, and thankfully, Rex was with us. They were set up. They were ready for him. And so they took care of Pastor, and several hours later, he comes out. Doctors told him, this is what we think it is. And Pastor has been the kind of guy over all these years where he does not know the word or words, two words, slow down. 25 years of going, 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 ministering to churches around the country, around the world, and putting his physical well-being second place. And so we, right then and there, we realized as deacons that this is going to have to change. He realized it. At first, he thought, oh, I can do it. I'll just take a day or two off, and then I'll be able to do it. Well, that wasn't the case. We since I was there, I and another one or two deacons said, okay, Pastor, you can't continue to do this. You're gonna have to do something. So Pastor got away for a few weeks, and I know it tore him up to be away from the church family for those two or three weeks, because that's a very critical time. We're leading up to, we have a special offering in March, and to help pay for what you've seen, and you know there are needs. We need that event center. So if any of you guys want to pay for that right now, you can write the check, and I'll make sure we name it after you. Okay, so you guys write that check, and I guarantee you it will be named whatever you want it to be named, and we'll put it in big letters. But anyway, we had the special offering coming up, and I know Pastor was gone about a better part of a month. He came back for that Sunday, and that was a special Sunday. We had a tremendous offering. But Pastor was on the platform, and he couldn't stay. He was in just that. I don't know what it was. His blood pressure became elevated. As soon as he stepped up on the platform, he could feel it. So we had to take him home, get him off the platform. A lot of stress, a lot of years of stress and everything catching up with him. So thankfully, he realized he saw some godly counsel from men around the country, he's gotten some rest. He's taking some medication, although he's coming off that medication, started exercising, and exercises every day, about an hour a day, and he's lost a lot of weight. His blood pressure's come down. His strength is coming back. And matter of fact, I played golf with him just the other day, and he had a couple of 300-yard drives, so it's really coming back. But while he was doing that, that's when this session changed for me. I had thought, okay, I think I can do it this way. Then I realized that leading men to take care of and encourage your pastor took on a different light for me. All of a sudden, I saw it differently. I realized that I thought I could do it in a certain way, but the Lord used this event to perhaps help me out with this session. And I believe it has. I think it's made me a better man. I know I've grown a bunch, even in this last few months, and I appreciate you being here, and I'm hoping that you'll be able to glean a little bit of what I've learned over the last few months. If you look at your outline, we start with where is it? Hebrews 13:17. I want to read that to you. I'm sure you all know it by heart, probably, but It starts Hebrews 13:7 says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." Where's James? Yeah, I left my outline at home. not that outline. I mean the book. I left the book at home. What do I do with it? Left it in my coat. The rest of my some of my notes. That's terrible when you're rushing to do everything and you think, okay, got to do that. I'll get it done. And thank the Lord I will get it done, but it's just going to take a little bit of time. And the second one is 1 Timothy 5:17, which says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." That's my pastor. That's my pastor right there. And your outline says L, a little acrostic here. I believe that the first thing you have to do in showing men how to care and encourage your pastor is to love your pastor. Just as we read from Hebrews a moment ago, that remember them which have the rule over you. That's your pastor right there. Who has spoken unto you the words of God. That's your pastor right there. Whose faith follow. Your pastor has led you. He sacrificed to lead you. And I know that as my pastor has done the same thing, he's led by example. He's loved us. I don't think there's anything he would do or would not do for his church family. So how do we need to do to encourage men? We need to tell other men that we love our pastor. Sometimes in this world, I know sometimes it can be real easy to not be loving. I grew up in a family that was not love, not a lot of emotion was shown. And so until late in life, and I remember telling my mom and dad that I loved them and that sort of stuff, but I realize now that, man, my pastor needs me to tell him that I love him and to show him that I love him. I know that he needs me to tell him or show his family that we love pastor and we need to love his family too. And we need to do special things like perhaps, don't ever forget occasions, special occasions. Obviously, don't forget your pastor's birthday, his wife's birthday, anniversary, dates like that. If they have small children, get them something, whatever it might be, something small, just to let them know that, hey, they're special to you. Always do your best to, as you're loving your pastor, to help him be a better husband to his wife. Because I guarantee you, man, without his wife being a part of the big picture, he doesn't have ministry. He does not have ministry. If his wife is holding him back, that ministry is never going to be what it can be. So that's why we need to do our part in loving our pastor and being an example to the church family on how to love our pastor. I mean, we ought to go out of our way to tell our church family how special our pastor is, how blessed we are to have him. And for you men that have something to do with your pastor's salary, you men are the guys who need to do something about it. Your job is not to starve your pastor. Okay, your job is to make sure your pastor does not have to worry about where the next meal is going to come. Just like the example he gave the other day, I believe, on how one time after they first got here, they were invited to Noggles or someplace over here on Avenue I after church. And he had the kids looking under the seats trying to find money because they didn't have a cent to their name. And guess what? You guys, that shouldn't happen. That's right. That's right. And so you guys, if you have anything to do with your pastor's compensation, you need to do that. You need to make sure that he's not starving, his family's not starving. Sometimes I'm reminded of 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 15 and 16, where when David said, man, I'd do anything. I'm paraphrasing. It's not the NIV. I'm paraphrasing. Where he's talking to his men man, I would love a drink of the well in Bethlehem by the gate. And it's three mighty men. They broke through the line of the Philistines and went and got him a drink because they loved him that much. They would do anything for him, and he couldn't believe it. He said, man, you guys did this for me? And your pastor should be the same way. You men, pastor, what do you need? What do you desire? Can I do something about it? And you should do your best to do that. So, yes. And like David said, I can't take this. David said he poured it out to the Lord. So, so that's the letter L. Okay, L for love your pastor. E, I believe you need to educate your men. Proverbs 9:9 says, "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning." I believe right there you got it all. That says it all right there. You need to make sure your men, your church family, but in this case your men, they're educated. They know that what their responsibilities are to take care of a pastor. You need to encourage your men to study on how to be better leaders. And I brought these two books up. When Pastor was going through his health trial, Brother Whitman, his assistant, said, "Hey, Pastor, might want you to read this book. It's called Leading on Empty." This book, although it's not fundamental in some respects, wasn't written by a fundamental author. But when I read it in about 7 hours, because I realized, in some of the cases, I said, that's my pastor. Brother DeZarno say that. Brother Weaver, I saw my pastor in some of these case studies here where they just went, forgot about themselves. But if you can get a copy of this, Leading on Empty, it's a good book. It'll help you to understand how sometimes pastors go and go and go. And that really helped me. Like I said, it's not by a fundamental author, but it's good. I thought it was good, and it really helped me. Another book is called Margin. Quite often, we all run a margin. You know, we use a little bit of what we have, or keep using what we have, and we end up with very little. But it's a good book, Margin. Not everything is perfect in there, but still, it's a good learning book. It helps you to realize how sometimes pastors run on that margin. And so, as you're educating your men, and don't be afraid to ask your pastor, how can I better serve you? How can we as a board of deacons or laymen or whatever the case may be, how can our church family be better at serving you? And I appreciate you being here at this conference because I believe that you want to learn something, and I believe that you, I hope I'm not falling on my face by telling you this, but I know that I wish that when I was saved, first saved, and I'd learn or was learning more about the Lord, I wish I'd had a conference like this to attend. So hopefully you'll glean a little bit, and if I put out a little bit, I guess. But as you know that, as you're educating your men, not everyone's going to be on the same level. Not every person is going to be here. You're going to have plenty of them are right there, and in between your shoe tops and the top of your head. But that's where you need to help your man grow. I mean, sometimes it's just going to be, brother, this is, I just need you to be strong. I need you to be wise. I need you to be an encouragement. You know, but some guys, they'll use they're just not wise. Okay, maybe that's a good way to put it. And you just need to help them get wise. Just like I said right there in Proverbs 9:9. Give instructions to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. So always, as you're educating your men, always help to, your men by sharing your pastor's needs. You know, and I haven't met a pastor yet that didn't have needs. Okay? And so as you go back to your churches, think about some of these things. Okay, L, we said, was for love your pastor. E was for educate your men. Now, A is for address your pastor's needs. Yeah, we know what they are. We may think we know what our pastor's needs are, but knowing and then doing something about them is two different things. I'll tell you how I did it. Or for years, as a deacon, I've been a deacon, I think this is my 17th year here. I thought that whenever a pastor had need, I thought that someone else would take care of that need. I thought that someone else was going to do that. Me being the new guy on the block, I thought, okay, well, guess what? Sometimes it didn't happen. Sometimes pastors' needs weren't taken care of because I thought someone else was going to do it. And I failed miserably. And I know what the duties of a deacon are. We're supposed to take care of the widows. Servants, right? Amen. And visit the widows. And care for the orphans. I know that. But as a deacon and my relationship between me and my pastor, I always thought that someone else would, if he had a need with something at the house, I thought, okay, somebody will take care of that. If he had a need with a prayer need for maybe one of his kids, someone else will take care of that. If he had a need with pay, someone else will take care of that. I was wrong. I was a fool because I thought someone would always take care of it. And I come to a realization that even though I knew there were needs, I wasn't doing anything about them. I wasn't taking ownership to say, Pastor, you have a need, I'm going to do something about it. Not maybe Brother so-and-so will do something about it. I'm going to do something about it. Now, I may seek the counsel of the other men, but I'm going to do something about it. And quite often, pastors have needs that they won't talk about. How many of you men know that your pastors have health insurance? Some men cannot afford health insurance. Why? Because we don't pay them well. We don't compensate them. And I understand when there's a small church and such, and then you're just starting out and that kind of stuff. I understand that. But we ought to do our best to make sure that we take care of our pastors, whether it be through health insurance or maybe setting up some, helping him to set up some kind of retirement account. Because guess what? Pastors are going to get old. Our pastor's been here 25 years. Those 25 years have been some quick years. And now, you know, I look forward to the next 25 years, but he needs to think about that part, and he has been, and we've helped him to do that. But so we've addressed some of his needs, and I believe that you ought to encourage your pastor, too, in the way of spiritual needs. When Pastor got sick, we did not have a policy, in effect, that would give him a sabbatical day where he could take time away. It's not vacation time. It's not vacation time. It is a time where he can go away and study God's word, pray, and renew his and refresh his spirit, and he needs to do that. Yes, sir. He needs to retreat. And that, guess who should pay for that? That's the church should pay for it. There should be not one red cent that comes out of that should come out of his pocket. He's doing that for you guys, for us, our pastor. And we just came up with that policy recently. And it's one of those things that was long overdue. We thought, okay, I don't know how many years I've been telling Pastor, you need to get away. You need to get away. And says, yes, Brother John, I know I'm going to do that. I'm going to take a week off, or I'm going to take two or three days to do this with the wife. That's not enough time, guys. That is not enough time. So we've come up with a sabbatical policy that we've instituted through at our church that gives him, that directs him, that he will take this time away. Every depending on how many years, it increases it with the more years that he's at the church. And so I would encourage you, men, if you don't have some sort of sabbatical policy, that you do that and that the church takes care of it. That's just the way it should be. Okay, so L for love our pastors, E, educate our men, A, address our pastor's needs, and then D, we need to dedicate ourselves. And that would be, the scripture I have for that is Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lead not unto thine own understanding. And you say, well, what does that have to do with it? Well, sometimes we have to trust the Lord actually, we have to trust the Lord all the time. We have to dedicate ourselves and just say, Lord, I don't know how this is going to work, but I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to let you take care of it. You need to be the man that your pastor can say, I'd go to war with that guy. I mean, I'd attack hell with a squirt gun, okay? You need to be that kind of man. Don't be the kind of man who your pastor's going to say, well, Brother so-and-so, I don't know if I can count on him 100% of the time. You need a guy that you can count on, where you're gonna be there, you know. As in a tactical sense, if you go in, you're going into a, say for instance, you're doing a drill at the sheriff's department. You're going in. You want to know that the rest of the guys that you're with, you're going to count on, because your life may depend on them. If you're going to go in there in a shooting incident and you're going in as a group, you need to know those guys you can depend on. Same thing with our pastor. He needs to know that he can depend upon you. Not the brother who's going to be, well, he's there 83.4% of the time. And you know, don't be that kind of guy. And obviously we have to dedicate ourselves to trust the Lord's guidance and how we take care of our pastor. I know that as an Olympic athlete, you see the guys and gal, and that made me think of Brother Davidson when he said, I'm guilty of saying guys when it may be a husband and a wife and say, hey, how you guys doing? So I'll have to change that. But as Olympic athletes, they dedicate their lives to a goal. They see that gold medal 4 years away or whatever, and their lives are nothing but dedicated. I mean, whether it's, you know, working out or doing certain types of workouts for this, that'll help this muscle right there that might help them shave a thousandth of a second off their time. They eat the right food. They do all these things dedicating themselves to win that gold medal. Quite often they fall short because perhaps someone else dedicated themselves even more so. And so, you know, we need to have that same type of dedication as athletes do. And like I said, don't think that someone else is going to take care of your pastor. I made the mistake, like I said earlier, of thinking someone else is going to do it. But I believe that I've dedicated myself in the last 6 months that say, Lord, that's not going to happen again. I will not be the weak link in the chain. I made that pact with the Lord, and I don't want that to happen again. And so we got to take care of our pastors. And so L, love your pastor. E, educate your men. A, address his needs. D, dedicate yourself. The letter I. Okay, now that you know those things, I is for implement action items. Okay. And in Proverbs 3, verse 27 says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Okay. We have that. Pardon me? Oh, that's Proverbs 3:27, which says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. You know what? Guys, it's in our hands, the power to do, to help our pastors, to lead men and encourage them. It's in our power. We can do that, right? We can do whatever we need to do that. It's also in our power to discourage men from doing that. We can, as easily as we can encourage them, we can discourage them. And once your pastor, you've figured out what those action items are, just like I said, a sabbatical policy, perhaps ensuring that your pastor does have insurance, does have certain needs. You know, we used to do something. We have a group of, every month we have new deacons who are, not new deacons in a sense, but we have two deacons who are the deacons of the month, and their responsibility that month is to find out if pastor has any needs around the house or whatever. It used to be in the old days when the kids were young, it might be to help get a babysitter for pastor so he and Terry could go out on a date night. So you might want to do that. I know some of the men, I remember Brother Brother Lofgren, he gave his testimony the other night. He and his wife would babysit their kids just so Pastor and Terry could get away for a few hours and just veg. And we implemented this Deacon of the Month. So now that the kids are grown, have their own children, not so much. But still, if you can, I don't know how many deacons you guys have, or we have 33 deacons. So you know, so we have a bunch of guys, and we're typically responsible for 100, 150, 200 people a person. So as you implement these action items, make sure the you take that action item and you possess it, you own it. I know our pastors taught us many times of during men's leaderships about owning something. And at work, I own something. I mean, if it's my responsibility, I own it. No one else, I own it. I'll take care of it. And I want people to say, if that guy owns it, if it's his, we should be like bulldogs. I've worked with many guys if they've been assigned work or something or whatever, they own it. They're like bulldogs. They're not going to let go of it. Once they bite it, it's theirs. Same thing with us. We should take ownership of things, and we should implement these action items. So once again, L, love your pastor. E, educate your men. A, address your pastor's needs. D, dedicate yourself to meet those needs. I, implement those action items. N, this one is sometimes you have to navigate through tough times. And guess what? If you have anything to do with the ministry, there will be tough times. Just like the example I gave of our pastor's health. And I thought, man, how do we get from here to there? And thankfully, obviously, our pastor sought counsel and read some books and such. We talked to our pastor, spent some time with him, and just him explaining how what he was going through. And obviously, we use the Lord to navigate through these times. I know that, it was tough. It was tough. There were times when you thought, what's tomorrow going to bring? The Lord's already shown us many, many, many things. And how are we going to get through today to get to tomorrow? But thankfully, the Lord is still there. He was in times when just like when you think about Columbus, when they sailed from Europe to the new country, to the new world, they had their compass. They didn't know what tomorrow held. They didn't know if there was a tomorrow, really. They just said, okay, the compass is saying we're going that way, so we're going that way. I mean, that's where it's going. Faith, exactly. And there's got to be something over there eventually. And they got there, and we use that same kind of faith in the Lord, saying, Lord, I don't know how we're going to get there. What's there? What's over that, through that next door or that next sunrise? But, Lord, with you, we can navigate through these tough times. And now more than ever, we sought the Lord's compass, if you will. And it was, no matter what, no matter how many times we failed him in the past, he never failed us once. We may not have ever thought that it would work this way, but it has worked, and we're thankful for that. So that was the letter N, navigate through tough times. So we love our pastor, educate our men, address his needs, dedicate ourselves. I, implement those action items, and N, navigate through tough times, and G, the letter G, through all this, we gave thanks. I know that at the time, I thought, boy, when you see your pastor your pastor's always been strong guy. And then you see him in moments of weakness, and you think, man, it can happen to anybody. If it can happen to my pastor who's, with the Lord's help, developed this place, who influences ministries around the country, around the world, and who's not afraid of working hard, praying hard, and all of a sudden you see him like this and you think, wow. But then you have to remember, Lord, thank you for allowing me to, just like at 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of Christ Jesus concerning you. And I learned that through that time of trial, physical trial, he never wavered spiritually. His walk with the Lord never changed. But I learned that, Lord, I still have to be thankful to you for allowing me to learn something through this trial. Not to be thinking that, you know, that every day is going to be beautiful. You know, not like that. Some story or whatever where, you know, they all live happily ever after. And yes, we will all live eternally ever after, right? If we're saved. But it just made me so, I came to the realization that I need to give thanks. And I did. And I always thought, I realize that an unthankful man is an unthankful man. So I realized that through this trial that I had to be thankful for the trial, how to grow us, and how it grew me. I thank the Lord even more so for my pastor, his dedication, his wisdom, his love for us, love for the Lord, for his family, for being an example to each of our families. And I'm thankful that I can take care of my pastor. We've done we've changed so many things in the last 6 months that our church family realized that pastor had a need that, and guess what? Our church family was 100% behind our pastor. If pastor needs to take the rest of the year off to get better, our church family said, take the rest of the year off, pastor. We want you not just for today, but we want you for the next 25 years. And so we learned so much as a church family, as, not just as a deacon, but as a church family, that to give thanks during even through this trial. This trial made me learn more about praying. It seems like I remember when my mom went home to be with the Lord, I prayed. I prayed the Lord to heal her. Then we had an accident. This was February 1997. And I don't know if any of you know the story. Actually, Jessica Downey was on the platform last night. And she was involved in an accident just leaving the college. And a truck hit them broadside. And the doctor said when they took her to the hospital, you better think about donating her organs because she's not going to make it. And I remember as a church family, we would have 50 people in the waiting room of Antelope Valley Hospital praying. And man, I remember praying. And the Lord saw fit to spare her life. And she was on the platform last night. And I'm thankful for that. I remember spending hours in prayer for her. I remember driving down at the hospital she was at down below, and if I had a morning off or something, I'd drive down there and I'd pray down there. Even through that trial, I think I learned to pray more so then than I even had for my mom. I thought, Lord, how can I do that? I love my mom. I love Jessica. She's a dear friend. But I the Lord used that trial to draw me closer to him. And the Lord has used this trial with our pastor's health, which, like I said, he's on the rebound. He's doing great. Thankful for that. But he's used this trial to draw me closer to him, to, I believe, to be more so the man I should be, the deacon, and how I've encouraged other men and how to take care of our pastor and encourage them to be what they need to be. So through all this time, you know, I can honestly give thanks for the trial. I can honestly say that I'm better at being what I should be than I was February 17th. Many times more so. And I just thank you for being here this afternoon and for hopefully learning a little bit, and hopefully I shared a little bit with you and you can take some of that home. But we'll if we can do anything for you while we're here, please let me know. But let's close in prayer before we leave. Okay? Father in heaven, Lord, we love you, and we thank you, Lord, for certainly loving us first, and we thank you for your son's sacrifice on the cross for us. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to share this time with fellow men, and Lord, I pray that I may have been an encouragement to them and maybe help them to take something back with them. Lord, I know that through this trial, you've helped me grow in oh so many ways. Lord, I just love you, and Lord, I thank you, Lord, for getting us through this trial, and Lord, we look forward to the next 25 years. Lord, I know that they'll be even better than the first 25 years. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to seek your wisdom in all that we say and do, and Lord, I pray that you bless each of these men here. Lord, I pray that you'd give them a great rest of the conference. Lord, I pray that you give them safety as they'll be traveling many miles, some of them, to get back home. Lord, I pray that you just use us in a special way today. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.